If you'd stand with me, please. I'd like you to turn to Ecclesiastes, 7th chapter. I was all set to preach this message last Sunday, and God preempted. So what I did is I just added a whole bunch more. Glory to God. It'll be all right. Time has stopped in this place. Anyway. Ecclesiastes 7 and 8 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. The end is more important than the beginning. Amen. I remember in high school my coach saying, I ran in cross country, he said, you better be running faster at the end than the beginning. Amen. And then if you turn to James, chapter 1, verse number 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So if we're patient, we won't want anything. Glory to God. Jesus, we ask your blessing on your word. Have your holy way, Lord. Touch it, anoint it, make it alive, make it fresh as the day it was penned. And we'll give you the glory. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I wasn't born as a pastor. You know, I advanced. This message this morning was just really outstanding. And for years, I've been teaching and preaching on second coming of the Lord and taking of the mark. I want to assure everybody here tonight that none of us, not one of us here, have to worry about taking the mark of the beast. Do you know why? Because the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, that the Antichrist cannot be revealed until the church is gone. And so it's the Antichrist that forces people to take the mark of the beast. And since we'll be gone, hallelujah, you know, it really doesn't matter to me one way or the other about the mark of the beast. I just want to keep living for God. It's a process. Whether you know it or not, everyone is in a process with God. I don't know where you're at, if you're at the beginning or in the middle or at the end. Even now at the age of 35, I'm still in the process. Amen. I reviewed some of the process this afternoon at my desk. I just reviewed what I've gone through. And if you'll just bear with me just for a little while, an hour or so. At 6 years old, I enrolled in a Lutheran parochial school. And in that school, they taught me all of the Bible studies that are in the Bible, all the miracles, all of the teachings of Jesus. And I fell in love with God early in my age. And but by the age of 14, I had to leave that school, and I went to Oak Creek High School as a freshman. And that same year, my father sold several acres of land next to our house to a Methodist church to build a church. And our family started going to that church. My pastor's name was Pastor Zager. He was a wonderful guy, good-looking, tall guy, athletic. He coached the high school basketball team. He gave me my first car for $1. Don't ask me to give you a car. He was the one who got me interested in tennis, taught me how to serve. Amen. By the time I was married at 21, that church disbanded because there was not enough people that come to it. In fact, Brother Marquardt was in that church as well, and his whole family. And then what happened is the Parkway Church brought that little bitty building, the same place that I used to go camping on, the same place I remember doing all kinds of things on because it was my dad's property. When I visited my parents on a Sunday several times, I could hear the loud worship coming from this church, and I wondered to myself, well, why are they gathering crowds when our little church, same building, disbanded because nobody wanted to come? Then years later, I ran into a girl who went to that Methodist church with me. In fact, I went to high school with her, and I was on my way to a Brewers game, stopped at a grocery store, just by coincidence, ran into her, and she said, "Jim, you got to come back to the church that we used to go to because great things are happening." At that point, I just wasn't interested. I had a business. I was doing my own thing. But her and her husband kept calling and calling and calling, inviting us to church. And eventually, I agreed to come to a spaghetti dinner, which was a social event at the church. I'm talking about the process that God had me in. I remember my pastor used to say, we all come from a circuitous way, all kinds of different avenues in order to get to truth. Some people have had to go through three or four different denominations to get to the place where they could actually hear truth. About the same time, business friends of mine, I had an insurance agency, and people that I looked up to were inviting me to Christian Businessmen of Milwaukee Bible studies and get-togethers. And I was starting to think the whole world's going crazy trying to get me into church. So I finally agreed to come to one service if they would just leave me alone. But God wouldn't leave me alone. So in 1977, I surrendered. Came to church, felt the power of God, and it was a drawing to God, a drawing to worship, to feel the presence of God like I had never felt before. And a couple months later, my wife and I were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. I must have sat in at least 4 10-week Bible studies in that first year. And by 6 months into the church, I was so in love with the Word of God, I was so compelled that I started teaching my own Bible studies, not knowing a whole lot, but memorizing the manual and all of the scriptures they're supposed to use. God made it so easy. In fact, I was teaching 2 and 3 Bible studies a week and still had a business. God blessed that first Bible study. There were 8 people baptized in Jesus' name. And then my pastor said something one day that scared me beyond reason. He said, "I want you to preach on a Sunday morning." And I can still remember my response to him saying, "Please don't. Just let me teach my Bible studies. I am not a preacher." But he insisted, "You're supposed to." So for a number of years, I taught on Sunday mornings and a few times on Sunday evenings. I didn't even know I was in the process of what God had for me. Some of you don't even know that you're in a process from a long time ago. Then years later, the former pastor of Apostolic Faith Church, this church, called my pastor and said, "Could you allow Brother Schumacher to come and teach at our church because our pastor has left and we need somebody to hold this together while we search for a new pastor?" So for 3 months, I filled in while they interviewed potential pastors from all over the United States. I think there were 9 of them that came. And I remember the church board, I sat with them and they said, now if you hold this together, you will not be a candidate to pastor the church because you'd have an unfair advantage. And besides that, you're just too old. Those were the words. I was 42 at the time. And I remember saying to them, you know, I'm really not interested. I'm not interested in this little church of, what, Brother Bailey, what, 30 people, 40 people? At the most, there were 26 voters. In fact, my wife and I made an offer on a house in Bayview, and we looked at a vacant church to buy it shortly before that, thinking God was calling me. I was willing to sell our home and move there in order to pastor. And little did I know. At the time, we were had morning prayer every morning, and we decided, well, if we're going to have morning prayer, we might as well go to the little church that we were kind of holding together. And I remember God saying, in the middle of that hour of prayer, stand up, turn around, look at these walls. And he said, these walls will not contain the people I'm going to bring here. I thought to myself, what's that got to do with me? Hallelujah. Well, the church voted on a Sunday night. I didn't know anything about it. And I remember being in church and a group of people came up to me and said, you're our new pastor. And I was shocked that they elected this old guy. The next part was the hardest because I knew that I wasn't qualified to pastor. But that's exactly what God was looking for. Somebody who wasn't qualified. And the process continues. I don't want to bore people with my process, but you're in your own process. And when things don't happen exactly when you want and the way you want, you have to understand God's bigger than what you want and what you think should happen. Glory to God. God's saying you don't have to sell your house and move all the way to Milwaukee. 5 miles down the road, there's a church that needs a pastor. All of us know what it's like to wait for God to answer prayer or answer promises, to fulfill those promises. What we don't seem to understand is that God always has us in a process, and it determines how we respond to the process. And the process always leads to some kind of promotion for us if we'll just stay in the process. The problem is a lot of people want to get out of the process because they don't have the patience to stay in and have God do what he does best. Our flesh wants us to give up, leave that process. All those in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11 chapter, well, they stayed in the process. It wasn't easy. But they stayed in the process, and they caught in the hall of faith. Amen. I don't know if there's going to be another book beyond this book that talks about our generation and whether or not your name could be in that book. So if you turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction. Now, that just doesn't make sense. Now we have truth, and now there's going to be affliction in our life. But those are the things that cause us to be promoted, get stronger, have a greater faith in God. Partly, whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both of reproaches and afflictions, and partly, whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. There's a reward for those who stay in the process. It's in the process we receive God's promise that conflicts with the will that tries to destroy us. We live in a generation that wants, even demands, instant response to everything today. Drive-through windows. We want everything, so we buy on credit. And when it doesn't happen, people are quick to alter their plans because I'm not going to wait. Perhaps giving up on hopes and dreams for the future, but it is often the slow process of God that makes us what we are today. I mean, God could promote us immediately, but there are some things that we need to learn. It took me 2 months to get the Holy Ghost, but I was one of those people who wasn't so easily at an altar with my hands up in the air. God had to teach me the importance of worship before he could fill me with the Holy Ghost. Diamonds are the most valuable thing on the planet, yet they are formed under much pressure, and it takes many years. Glory to God. There are some in this church that are diamonds because you've been steadfast and you've been under pressure and you've had diseases and conflict and problems in your life. And you said, no, I'm staying in the church. I'm going to be faithful. And God looks at you as the precious ones. Our future success comes through staying in God's process. Rich deposits are funneled into us through the furnaces of afflictions. Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, I don't know if this is right. And the fellowship of his suffering. It's during that process of knowing him and what he went through that God deposits within us that great element called anointing. I remember some of those first Bible studies that I taught. I didn't know a lick, didn't have much knowledge at all, but I was so determined to see people saved that there was such an anointing that there were times where I could hardly speak. It was a process. It is a composite of the Holy Ghost and everything that we've been through. It's your life story. No one can circumvent the process. Ministers are not born, they're a result of the process. When I was a presbyter and interviewing potential ministers, I would tell them, there's a baptism of fire. Yes, you want to do great things for God, but you're going to have to go through the fire in order to get there. Elijah gave Elisha a double portion of his spirit, and the spirit of Moses rested upon the elders of Israel, but there are no shortcuts to that power. We can't just do some things the same as somebody else and expect the same results. Just because they did something and you copied what they did doesn't mean you're going to have the same results that they had because you don't know what they went through. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, if you have a position in this church, all those that you minister to are looking to you to see, are you faithful? Do you come to Sunday night service? Do you come to Saturday morning prayer? Our kids are watching each and every one of us to see, is this really true? Or is it just something you do? Hallelujah. When Elijah asked for a double portion of the spirit that was on Elijah, he responded, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you, but if not, it shall not be so. Essentially, what he was saying to Elijah is, you have to walk my walk and experience what I've gone through in order to have the same anointing that I have. Glory to God. Well, this is a new generation. We don't have to go through all those things that the old generation. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Glory to God. It's more than a mantle thrown over us. At the beginning of our walk, it's learning how to be a servant like Elijah was. And anybody who is ever going to accomplish anything in the ministry has to, first of all, learn how to be a servant before they can lead. We must learn to serve God's people before we can ever learn to lead God's people. Last Sunday morning, my wife was saying on the way to church, I remember when Sister Bill Walk used to help me fold bulletins before service. Most of you don't even know what a bulletin is, but for the first several years, we folded bulletins, mimeographed them so we could give them out to visitors. And now she's teaching Sunday school, and her daughter is as old as she was. People don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. That's why visitors should be inundated by every one of us in here knowing that we really care for them. It's just not a body to fill the pews, you see. Samuel had seven sons pass before him to be anointed as a future king. They were taller, they were better looking, they were older, but God saw the servant heart of David to be king. Was he more qualified? Yes, he was, because of the spirit within him. God's not looking at the outside. He's looking at the inside. If you'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Whoops. Chapter 16, verse number 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down until he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. Amen. God, are you the one he's looking for? Trust and patience are vital in the walk and promotions with God. Did you ever stop to think how long it was from the time that Samuel poured the oil on the head of David before David sat down on the throne to be king? He was just a boy, poured the oil over his head and said, you will be the next king. I can't wait until next year. Sorry. Or the next year. Sorry. Was it 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years? No, it was 15 long, long years from the time David was first anointed to the time that he was given the position that God promised him. Now, David could have stepped out of the process any time. There were all kinds of problems, including the king. including his own family. He could have stepped out of the process and said, you know what, this is just not worth it. There were a few interruptions from the oil to the crown. Some of you could have stepped out of the process easy because of sickness. Lord, I've been living for you and I still have this sickness. Lord, I've been living with you and I have this problem, this burden, this situation. A few problems from the promise to the fulfillment. If we want to do great things for God, remember, there is always going to be a Goliath that'll try to stop it. Glory to God. Even hid in a cave, when his pastor came after him with other backsliders. These were lonely years, but they were years of growing in God. If you can, I don't know where you're at. Maybe you feel all alone. Maybe you feel abandoned. But these are the years that you grow to the point where God's saying, and now I know you've withheld nothing from me. Hallelujah. You know, when he killed the Goliath, the giant, he didn't even have his own sword. He had to take Goliath's sword in order to kill him. Amen. God always provides whatever we need, you know, but I'm not very smart. I'm not. Many times when we first come into the church, we have all of the zeal, but we don't have the how-to, to use the Word of God or understand how to use the Spirit of God. What do you mean by that? You can't just run in like a bull in a china shop to tell people they need to be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, there's a word of knowledge and wisdom that has to kick in. You have to be wise if you're going to win souls, the Bible says. There has to be some growing years. Sometimes to force us to learn how to use the sword in the Spirit. What about Joshua waiting on Moses for 40 days? I'm going home. Why should I have to wait? There must have been something that happened to Moses. Glory to God. Joseph's dream in the field as a boy of his fathers and brothers bowing down to him, to the day that his brothers came to Egypt to buy food after all of those years, made second in command because he wouldn't give up on the process. Was it weeks or months? No, 13 years as a servant and in jail. And God wanted to know, are you going to stay in the process? If you do, I'll make you second in command of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. And then your brothers and your father will come and you'll save them in the process. Most difficult years of preparation. Glory to God. I've got a few sad stories, but I'm stronger because of it. I'm still in the process. Hallelujah. I remember a couple coming into our Wednesday night service and never saw them before. They drove by the church, came in. After the service, they wanted to talk to me. They said, you know, we don't go to church anymore, but we want to get married. And you have a beautiful church, wondering if you could marry us. I said, you know, I normally don't marry people who are outside of our congregation, but if you're willing to sit through a Bible study, so they did. I baptized them both in Jesus' name, and then weeks later, it came to the day that they were going to get married. I remember working out in the parking lot on a Saturday and hearing sirens. What I realized is that as his bachelor party went wrong. His bride-to-be was very upset, and they argued, and she got a gun, and they fought, and she was shot and killed. And I remember the Saturday I was supposed to marry them, I was burying her, and all their bridesmaids were on the front pew, and police on the parking lot not allowing the groom to be a part of the service. You have to understand, these simply happen. Things happen in your life that are unpredictable, but you can't be shaken by them. How many people want to go through that process? I know that for a fact. But real friends stay with you through the process. Our board knows that we've gone through some pretty heavy attacks in order to be the church that we are. But there were people that stayed in the process. They define us rather than forsake us. I'm glad Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." 13 years as servant and prisoner, but then one day, perhaps unexpected, the promotion came to Joseph. God must have seen something in Joseph and in his spirit that said he was a changed man ready to be used by the master's hands. One day at a time, the process had taken a proud boy and made him into a compassionate man to show mercy and love to brothers who had thrown him into a pit. You know how you know you've succeeded, you've gone through the processes when you've been unfairly treated and you still love the person who did it. There's something about the process that settles the spirit and tempers the heart. Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years to see their promised son. But it was extended because they took things in their own hands and said, "I can do this better. You know, God, I'm going to help you out." Please don't help God out. He does not need your help in the process. Just let him be who he is. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, the Bible said, but he preached his first message at 30, filled with the Holy Ghost as a baby. It was 3.5 years from the time Paul saw the light until his first sermon. Glory to God. You think that they were promoted immediately, but God's saying, "You know, I've got a school that I need to put you in. You need to come to school every day. You need to be faithful to the Word of God every day." Moses was told from the time that he could understand that God was going to use him in order to deliver the children of Israel from bondage. So he was patient for 40 years until he thought, "You know what, it's about time that I take the role that God said I was to take." He acted prematurely and then had to run for his life and wait another 40 years before God could use him because he took himself out of the process. So Moses then spent that 40 years on the backside of a desert herding sheep. He probably learned more herding sheep than he could in the courts of Pharaoh. Wondering every day, "Will I ever be used by God?" Have you ever messed up? Every hand should be up in the air. And then you say, "God's just not going to use me anymore. Now I can't teach Sunday school. Now I could never teach a Bible study. I don't even have a right to witness to somebody because I messed up." And that's a lie from hell, folks. Right. Stepped out of the process, then you can step right back in the process, you see. It was a preparation, the process of the anointing. And when the process was complete, Moses passed the test. Glory to God. How do you know? Because 40 years later, he responded to God the right way. 40 years of waiting, took himself out of the process, another 40 years, 80 years before he was ready to be used by God. Turn with me to Exodus, the 4th chapter. Verse number 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither therefore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and have a slow tongue. Now, he's asking Moses to lead these people out of bondage. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Glory to God. I will be with your mouth. And then he said, and there will be signs. Throw down your rod, turns into a snake. Put your hand in your coat and bring it out leprosy. Turn the water into blood. And God's saying, I'll be with your mouth and I'll give you signs that will follow. You shall speak with new tongues. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. He's given us the power. He's given us the signs. Amen. Moses, you went through the process and passed. The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, knowing where God wanted them to go, but they took themselves out of the process, didn't want to go. They were afraid, knowing where God wanted them. I wonder if they had not murmured, if it wouldn't have taken 40 years, if a whole generation would not have died in the wilderness. All flesh, that means every one of us, will have to go through the process to get to the promotion and be what God wants us to be. Amen. I love my little great-grandson, Jones. I told him I would buy him his first gun, but I'm probably not going to give it to him right away. Glory to God. God's got some powerful tools for each and every one of us. But we have to get to the place where he knows we won't abuse those tools or become something that we're not supposed to be. If you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. I wonder, who is he talking to? He's talking to the church. As though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Hallelujah. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous This verse has always scared me. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. You realize what that says? We suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their soul or the process to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. So I guess he understands that there's some things that we're going through, and he's wondering, are you going to be faithful even though you're going through these things? I'm still in the process. Even after all of these years, now really, really old, I've had many opportunities to leave the process. I've even thought of them from time to time. It's when hard things were said and people were walking away from Jesus that he said, "Will you leave me also?" And they said, "Where shall we go? You have the words of life." I also understand that I would lose the promise. When God put on the robes of flesh, listen to this, he also put himself in the process. The God of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, allowed himself to be in the same process that you and I are in right now. There was 18 years from the time Jesus taught the rabbis at the age of 12 to the time that he entered into his ministry at 30. 18 years of splinters in his hands as a carpenter. Even a process for the flesh of God, that God, if this cup be removed, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Oh God, if you could just take me out of this situation right now, but nevertheless, if this process is going to make me better, let it happen, God, because I know you love me more than I could possibly imagine. I ask you tonight, please, stay in the process. Grow, learn, even endure, and you will see the promise. These are not wasted years. And there were times where I thought, God, what's this all about? What good could come out of this situation? Three building programs, and every one was worse than the last one. What good could come out of this? No, they're not wasted years. We're all given many opportunities to leave the process, and many sadly have, never to see God's plan for their lives. Ecclesiastes 7 and 8 said, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning." It was a wonderful thing when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, but it's going to be a better thing when my feet leave the ground. Hallelujah. Will you stay in the process? Amen. Would you stand with me, please? See, you can try to do this on your own, but God has given us each other to help in the process. I heard what you're going through. You're going to be all right. I went through something like that myself, and here's the results, you see. We're helping each other. Church is a support group, folks. Amen. This is where you get your therapy, folks. This is where you get your exercise, folks. Amen. To be a rounded out individual, God has provided with everything that we need in order to make our election sure. Amen. Just stay in the process. The altar's open. Would you come?